You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now. We're trying to, slowly but surely break down the birthday stuff. So by the time Zachary gets here, it's not all crazy birthday stuff. So, if you missed the first hour of the show, I was pleasantly ambushed. Tom Callahan definitely helped facilitate, which was great. And by Tia, Teddy, Margo, and Betsy, they brought me birthday presents, birthday cards, birthday balloons, decorations. Margo literally took a garbage bag of balloons and just threw them right over my head. So we still got a busy third hour of doing what we do on this show. Tim Sandifer from the Goldwater Institute in just a second. And then we have Congressman Andy Biggs at the bottom of the hour. And then right before we run out of time, Dan Spencer from Filthy Pirate Coffee, our new coffee sponsor, will be here.
The only downside to this being radio, Chris, is that no one got to see your face when they rolled into the studio.
It's correct.
Because you were frozen for a second, and I could tell that was the deer in the headlights for a moment going, what is this?
You are correct. It definitely...
But it was fun to see.
Yeah, the ambush was successful, as we like to say. So let's go right to the phones. Tim Sandifer, one of the legal experts, as we like to say, at Goldwater. Timothy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Now, let me get this straight, Chris. Your friends threw a bag of balloons over your head?
Yeah, I literally opened it up, and all these balloons came flying.
How very apt. That's so much like the worldview situation.
I didn't even think about that.
It seems like a perfect metaphor for the balloon doggle.
We love balloon doggles. We've had we had the $2015 billion of Pima County bonds. That was like a bad wish list. We called that the bond doggle, which then moved us into the balloon doggle in 2016. So Tim, you've experienced, I feel like, a little bit of setbacks in this Pima County balloon doggle with Worldview. Where are we at? What's our current status, sir?
So this case, which I know for people who have been following it, feels like it's been going on forever, and that's because it got divided into separate parts, and each one got litigated separately. Now, this is where the county borrowed $15 million to build a headquarters and a balloon factory and a launch pad for Worldview to send passengers on rides to the stratosphere in specially modified weather balloons. Now, they've abandoned those plans, and they said, oh, no, we're taking commercial atmospheric testing equipment up on rides on balloons instead on the taxpayer dime for private profit. So we filed this lawsuit, and we said, well, first of all, you leased this county-owned land illegally. The trial court agreed with us on that, but then the Court of Appeals reversed that and said, no, it turns out that this other law repealed the law that requires the county to follow the ordinary competitive bidding process. Then the second part of the lawsuit was where the county illegally hired the contractor and the architect for the project, and we won on that also in the trial court. But on the Court of Appeals then overturned that because they said we sued too late over that. So, oh well. Now, the part three is the constitutionality of the entire thing, because the Arizona Constitution prohibits the government from giving away taxpayer money or lending taxpayer money to a private business. And that's what happened here. The county took this money and built this facility for Worldview as a loan, and Worldview has to pay it back over the course of 20 years, assuming that they managed to survive for 20 years. Of course, all of this was before the pandemic, which shut everything down, and so now the county isn't even getting its regular payments that it's supposed to get. And then on top of lending this money to Worldview, it's also basically giving away money to Worldview, because at the end of the lease period, Worldview can buy this $14 million building for 10 bucks. That's written into the contract. They're allowed to buy a building that you taxpayers paid $14 million to construct for $10 cash on the barrel head. And this is all totally unconstitutional. So we argued this case some days ago in the trial court, and we're waiting for a decision there. And of course, obviously, if need be, we will appeal this all the way to the top.
So tell me about the county and their case they presented.
Oh, what's amazing to me is the county's position. They don't really deny the facts. They just say, Your Honor, you shouldn't really pay attention to the details of this deal. You should take a step back and just imagine that this was a good idea. In fact, they used in one of their briefs, they said that the judge should, quote, squint a little, end quote, when looking at this contract. You know, you don't get bogged down into all of who gets paid for what. I mean, you know, it reminds me of The Simpsons when Homer Simpson says, you know, who's to say what's right or wrong, what with our modern ways? You know. So they really don't deny that they lent this money to Worldview, even though the Arizona Constitution expressly prohibits the government from lending its credit to a private entity. They just say that as long as we more or less kind of come close to breaking even, that's good enough. Because the county does not deny that they're not going to get all of the money back from this project. They just claim that if they get kind of close to what they spent to subsidize Worldview illegally, that's good enough for the Arizona Constitution. Now, keep in mind that all of these things were arranged before the pandemic. When the pandemic broke out, Worldview was excused from having to pay these payments, and so now you taxpayers are allowing a private company to use a building that the government paid for. They're allowed to occupy that building for free right now because they're not required to make these payments. And now, to be fair, though, to Worldview, they have since taken this, you know, space-age material that they're supposed to be making these balloons out of, and they've repurposed it and made surgical gowns for first responders dealing with the pandemic. So you taxpayers did end up getting a little bit of something out of your $15 million balloon goggle.
Now, you got to remember, okay, I got to see if I can find this real quick. When they made the sheets, the protective gowns for Worldview, for the county, and they're selling them back to the county. Of course, they're selling them to the county at this way rate that's way higher than you could buy from a regular surgical company. We actually we looked it up. Like, Allie Miller did a great job. She looked it up, and it was like we were paying at least multiple times what you would pay at a regular surgical supply company for these gowns. But the county was getting this crap from Worldview, so of course we got to overpay for that too.
You know, Milton Friedman used to say that only the government could take perfectly good paper and print green ink on it and make it worth absolutely nothing. I can't believe, you know, only the government could take a deal where they're taking your money to build a factory for its crony, its specially chosen favorite, and build a factory for them to build balloons, then not build balloons, but build surgical gowns that are overcharged that then the county has to pay for on top of that. By the way, I do feel bad, Chris. I didn't welcome the county officials who are listening to your show and writing down everything that we say in order to send me an angry letter about it afterwards. As you know, every time we talk about this subject on the air, the county sends me a long complaining letter denounce me for exercising my First Amendment rights to criticize the government for its foolish and unconstitutional action. And I feel bad because I do talk a little fast, and that the poor person at the county building that you're paying to transcribe this is probably having a hard time keeping up.
All right, Timmy brought this up, so I got to reiterate the story before even that, right? So we had a lady who used to work for the county who now went back into the press for a while, and she worked in the community communications department. And her job was to listen to Wake Up Tucson. Okay?
And you couldn't pay me to do that. I mean,
so this woman had a couple of kids, I think, right? So she's trying to, you know, get them ready for school, make some oatmeal, scrambled eggs. And she's got to, and it's like when she's putting her makeup on in the morning, she's got to listen to, Joe was doing the show with me at the time, these two idiots talking about whatever, right? And then she prayed. I just know she said, "Dear Jesus, please don't let them mention Pima County. Don't mention Pima County." Because the moment we mentioned Pima County, she had to transcribe it because they record all the Wake Up Tucson shows back at the county. All right? So she would ruin the rest of her day because she had to transcribe what we said about the county and give it to Huckleberry by the end of the day.
Yeah, and all of this on the taxpayer dime.
Correct. We can't fix potholes. We can't grow grass. We don't pay the cops enough. But damn it, We have a $1.2 million communications department that is basically monitoring an AM radio show.
And we can't even really send things up into the stratosphere on specially modified weather balloons on the taxpayer dime. I mean, a few months ago, you know, a magician David Blaine did this stunt where he flew by putting himself in a chair that had a bunch of helium balloons attached to it. And it boggles the mind that he was more successful at taking passengers into the sky than your $15 million balloon doggle project that that Pima County endorsed, on the theory that it was going to somehow generate, you know, the local economy or something. And this is why all of this is, you know, kind of in good fun, except that it does have a very serious lesson at the bottom of it, which is that the government cannot pick winners or losers in the economy. It cannot see the future. It has no profit incentive to get the answer right. Right? You know, you and I are probably both the only people listening who are old enough to remember New Coke. Remember New Coke in the 1980s?
Sure.
Coca-Cola Corporation, with all of its million-dollar experts on marketing and everything, actually thought that people wanted a different flavor of Coca-Cola. And it was a disaster. It was one of the greatest marketing failures of all time. Well, they had a bunch of money on the line. They stood to gain profit if they got it right, and they still got it wrong. So why in the world would you think that the County Board of Supervisors and Administrator Chuck Huckleberry know better than you do what the next big economic thing, what the next big marketing success is going to be? They don't know, and the problem is they don't suffer if they get it wrong. You suffer. They're doing these marketing gambles with taxpayer money,
and
which
it was,
is why the
and it was only for prohibited. It was only for a campaign year story. That's all this pain was to show Sharon Bronson was a job creator. So,
and the risk is borne by the taxpayer, which is why the Arizona Constitution makes this illegal. And the county, you know, now their attention has gone off onto other things, and we are all left to pick up the tab.
Now, Tim, can you hold on for 4 seconds? Not for a few minutes. Sure. I want to do some commercials. I got two calls for you, and then I do have the numbers of how much the contract is between Pima County and Worldview for masks and gown. Go have a shot of whiskey, trust me, when I tell you that number. So, Tim Sandifer, Goldwater, Ted Robert, we'll get to you. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, 8:23 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Congressman Andy Biggs coming up at the bottom of the hour, followed by Filthy Pirate Coffee. How's that? No one has that lineup today. Sandifer, Filthy Pirates, and Andy Biggs.
So. Today has been a killer show.
Thank you, sir. Tim, welcome back, sir.
Boy, that is a potent wake-up.
So I found that number. So the contract between Pima County and Worldview to buy overpriced gowns and masks that are not even close to market, it's only $2 million. So not only did we freeze their rent, along with hurting companies like Bank of America, I swear to God they did that too, because of the Rona, the banks aren't making any money right now. So $2 million the county's getting off of Worldview. And then we also learned that Worldview is doing a lot of their launches in Cochise County, because where they pick the site where the county build it has crazy things like planes flying around, which are not good for their business model.
Yes, that's right. Worldview's been launching balloons away from the place that they said that they needed millions of dollars of taxpayer subsidies for them to locate.
So maybe it's not against the Constitution for a county to benefit one company to benefit another county. Maybe that's what we're...
Who knows? I mean, these kinds of things are inevitable whenever the government gets in the business of picking winners and losers in the economy, because the government is... Why is government going to subsidize a business? Let's say I'm going to start my own... I'm going to start a lemonade stand in my front yard, and I go to the government. I say, government, please subsidize me. Give me taxpayer money to start up my business. Why would I do that?
Because you're friends with Chuck Huckleberry.
Because I can't get a loan from a private bank. So I go to my friends in the government and I ask them to give the money to me to begin with. Why can't I get the loan from a private bank? Because it's too risky. If there was money to be made there, the bank would lend me the money, and I would start my business, and I'd pay back the loan, and everybody would benefit from that transaction. The reason why businesses use this sort of these backdoor crony tactics is because they can't get a loan from a bank, or they don't want to go through the trouble of getting a loan from a bank because they are too risky, which means the taxpayer ends up bearing the risk. And in this case, we know where that risk has fallen now because this pandemic has shut down the business and allowed the business to continue occupying the building on the taxpayer.
When are you going to get a decision from this judge? And then we got to sneak in two questions in 4 minutes.
Within about 60 days.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Ted on line three. Ted, you're on with Tim from the Goldwater Institute.
Tim, do you guys know how much was paid to Mark Kelly for his participation?
No, we don't know much of the details about who was involved in this. And honestly, I haven't wanted to look into that in this lawsuit because I wanted to try and keep the focus on how this violates Arizona Constitution and wise economic policy. This isn't a question about whether one particular individual is corrupt or ethical or whatever. This case is a much broader issue about the government subsidizing its favorites on the taxpayer dime in violation of the state's fundamental law. And that's wrong whether Democrats do it or whoever is involved.
All right. I got to get one more call in, Teddy. So thanks for the call. Thanks for the birthday stuff earlier. Let's go to Robert on line 17. Robert, you're on with Tim Sandifer. What's up?
I'm sorry, Tim. You said that you missed a timeline on a petition or a response.
No, it was what happened was you're talking about the second part of the lawsuit. We did not seek an injunction to block the construction of the buildings in time. And as a result, the court said there was nothing that they could do about the illegal way that the county hired the architect and the contractor.
Why'd you miss your time?
No, we chose not to seek an injunction while the construction was going forward because you usually
big mistake.
Get an injunction to block.
This sounds like monkeys and footballs.
Thank
an
you.
Advocate that misses his timeline.
Well, to emphasize the point you're trying to talk over, which is that the government acted illegally, and the court did not deny that the government acted illegally in this case. All it said was that it was too late for them to do anything about it. And that if we had blocked construction in the interim, maybe they could have stopped it from happening. So, yeah, I suppose we could have tried to stop construction, which the court would not have allowed. But, you know, the next time that you want to talk about this issue, let's try and focus on the illegal actions that the government has done in violation of Arizona state law and gotten away with it. That's where our
do you regret not going for the injunction?
Well, not really, because I don't think it would have been granted to begin with. And we wanted to focus this case on the unconstitutional actions, which is that's the part that the case that's still going forward. And again, the trial court agreed with us that the county officials acted illegally in hiring the contractor and the architect for this program in violation of Arizona law. The question was just one of whether they could do anything about it at that point.
All right. So my last question before I run out of time, does the state legislature need to come up with a new law that if there's some sort of penalty for a company that participates in such things?
I think that would be a great idea. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, Tim, have an amazing weekend. Thanks. Give us an update when the trial judge comes back, okay?
Will do.
Thanks, buddy. Andy Biggs coming up next, U.S. Congressman followed by a filthy pirate. Wake up. One of my favorite Sinatra songs ever, On the Road to Mandalay. One of the deep tracks on Come Fly With Me. So 790-2040 is the phone number. Is Andy anywhere there yet? Excellent. Let's go right to the phones. Congressman Andy Biggs. Andy, what's shaking, bro?
Hey, just at the foot of the capital of the country. You see a beautiful sign held by a protester saying a vote for McCarthy is a vote for Pelosi for speaker. And again, I had to crack up when I saw that.
We were talking to David earlier this morning and talking about dragging you guys to Congress for marijuana. But there's no Democrats.
I like the way you use dragging. Yeah. The Democrats didn't bother to show. There are no shows there. Apparently, I understand they're at home with some Little Caesars pizza and some Cheetos because of the marijuana bill. So I don't know.
I just like, hey, what's going on? I go, you're still in the swamp? He goes, well, yeah, they called us back for this marijuana thing. But it just seems to be like,
it's,
you know,
sad.
me, Biggs, and a couple other people.
It's sad. I'm just telling you. I mean, this we started off the week with nothing much happening, and they continue to throw stupid bills at us, and they don't show up, which is why I made a motion to adjourn yesterday. And the Republicans all stayed off.
because he wanted to show, hey, guess what? The Democrats, they don't show up. About a third of them are not even here. They're literally calling in saying, oh, register me to vote this way. It's terrible.
Again,
it's ridiculous.
I think all of my favorite Democrat absenteeism was still Stanton on the boat in Utah. That's my favorite. So Greg Stanton. So Stanton's at a committee meeting, and somehow, I don't know, he's got like one of his kids holding the phone or something. It looks like he's rowing on a boat in Utah or something. And someone's like, Andy, are you on a boat? Oh, yeah, bro. We're doing a markup on a bill. I'm on a boat.
Yeah, he's got the fam up there on vacation, just hanging out boating on the lake. Well, then my favorite though, this one is really good. Charlie Crist from Florida, SpaceX is going to launch a rocket, and so he calls. He doesn't show up because he wants to see the rocket launch, and then it turns out the weather turned bad and they couldn't launch the rocket, so the mission is scrubbed, and he's still down in Florida. Doesn't bother to come up. Can't get up to vote. That's the craziness of this place. It is absolutely. And people say to me, hey, Andy, are you bewildered by the 9% approval rating? Yes, I am. I thought it'd be closer to 2 or 3%.
Well, again, this is the sick part of the psychology of it, Andy, right? Is if these people who keep getting reelected to their seats, right, in their districts, they're giving Congress a 9% approval, but their person, they're the bomb.
Exactly. You know, believe it or not, there are studies about that say, well, why do incumbents have a better chance of getting reelected? You know, there's a lot of reasons why, but we try to provide good constituent services. But what I can't figure out is you've got some members of Congress who don't show up, do a crappy job, and they do a lousy job on constituent services to boot. So how do they keep getting reelected?
Hey,
that makes sense to me.
Remember, we got O'Halloran and Kirkpatrick. No one even knows where they're at half, especially Kirkpatrick. That's like trying to find Jimmy Hoffa.
When's the last time Ann was actually here to vote in person? I'd be curious to know.
You got me, buddy. Tell me about the what's going on in the world of Arizona's elections and overall what's going on in this world.
So with Arizona's elections, this week there's been actually short samples, small end samples, and then a little bit larger end sample taken of an audit up in Phoenix and related to, I guess, a case that's pending the AZGOP file. And what we found in the first 100 samples is you had effectively a 3% error rate. Now, that's a small sample for 3.3 million, but, I mean, if you can have a sample of 400 people and say that 330 million people feel that way for a national deal, then I think you can make the same argument for 100 versus 3 million. Anyway, that would extrapolate to almost 100,000 votes that would switch if that were done. And by the way, all three percent, it would have been switched in favor of Trump if. They, in other words, the bad vote was for Biden. The wrong vote was for Biden, but when you corrected, it was for Trump. Then they said, okay, well, let's do a little bit more. Let's do 2,500. And they stopped it at 1,525. I assume they stopped it because they didn't like the results, because that narrowed the percentage a little bit, dropped the percentage a bit, but it still would have indicated that you had over 17,000 votes that were miscounted. And that would be enough to overturn the Arizona election, since the difference right now is 10,400 something. But they stopped it after 1525, and they won't complete the other 1,000. So they're going to probably lose the lawsuit, probably get an adverse ruling, and then they'll appeal it. But I think there is so much there that you would hope that the Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County would at least require that they do a forensic audit. And that's what needs to happen if you really want to get to the bottom of this. You get to the bottom of it, you're going to find out that Trump won Arizona. Not only did he win Arizona, he won Georgia. I mean, you've probably seen Georgia's had some massive things.
I watched the video this morning of the lady who kicked the observers and the workers out at 10:30. And then her and three other people pulled out a box of Box of ballots,
man. They made four boxes of ballots. Oddly enough, just enough to give Biden the lead. Yeah, so you got that. And I just talked to a Georgia rep about an hour ago, and he was telling me that there will be more revelations today. So Georgia's turning. Pennsylvania, the evidence is pretty astounding. Same with Michigan and Wisconsin. And Nevada, quite frankly. So all these six states, if we can get to the bottom of this, you're going to find that President Trump really did win. And he didn't win just casually. He won with a significant number of Electoral College votes.
So you and I have been critical of the chief executive of the state of Arizona on how he's handled. I love making Biggs laugh.
Well said.
On the Rona lockdowns. But don't we have to give him a little credit that he at least held the line a little bit on Wednesday?
Did he hold the line on Wednesday?
He could have done. He could have went for the stay-at-home thing, is what I'm thinking, and close everybody down.
He could have gone California, right?
That's what you're thinking. Right. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a carrot and a little bit of a stick here. So on the carrot and an attaboy, okay. Thank you for not going full Newsom on us, Douglas.
Right. No, that was. I will say that I am mildly happy that he didn't go further. But I just want to say that at the same time he's saying we're not going to go full lockdown, he is allowing his bureaucratic regime there to go after individual businesses that are trying to stay open and in a very tyrannical way. And so, on the one hand, you want to say, yeah, thanks for not going full lockdown. But you don't have authority to do that anyway, and you also don't have authority to do the other. I mean, and that's the whole problem here.
Right.
If people begin looking at that statute, they're going to say, well, wait, this basically indicates that he gets to control the state agencies, right? And the resources within the state to mitigate an emergent circumstance, not a long-term deal where you do this kind of abuse that he's done. So, on one hand, you want to say, yeah, okay, I'm glad you didn't try to impose this draconian lockdown, but what he's already done is fairly draconian, and
right.
And that's pretty rough on folks, and in my opinion, should make the state liable for the takings that he's imposed on these businesses.
No, I agree. I guess I'm looking for both. You know, I'm just trying.
you're the cup. You're a guy who says the cup is. It may not be half full, but there's a drop or two in it. Well done.
I've been beating on Douglas like a rented mule for the last 7 months. I was just looking for something here.
Okay. All right.
But
I'll give you that.
But the thing is too, right? So he drops the thing about the two substantiated, and then we're going to close you down. Right.
Right.
First of all, in the end, all he's doing is especially in Pima County, our health department and Huckleberry and these guys are over the top down here. Okay. And he's just giving them carte blanche to go after these businesses more than ever because he's going to say, the county's going to say, you're backing us up, right, Gov?
Right. And that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I think of the gym owner. I talked to this gym owner this week. Everything's by appointment. It's really, they've done everything they can to keep this place as clean as possible. They haven't had a single case arise out of either the training staff or the members of the club since this started. They closed down when there was a general lockdown, when everybody was, but then when they went to, when they said, we're going to, no, gyms can't open, he said, we can't do that. I'm losing 50 grand a month or whatever. You know what? How can you justify closing an entity where there has been absolutely no evidence, and not only no evidence, but no coronavirus spread at that location? I think he told me he's got like 40 criminal complaints. He's got the Department of Health Services now filed a motion to shut him down in court. I mean, these types of things, I look at it and I say, you don't have the authority to do that. We are still a free people. And a free people says, I will assess the risk. And look at this. You got people that are working out, not like me. I don't ever work out. I should work out, but I don't. If these are people who are working out. They're watching what they eat. They're in good health, and they're basically making a decision. I want to go work out in this place.
Healthy people resist the Rona better, right?
Right. And
And let's go to one of my favorite physicians, Dr. No Confidence, Dr. Christ, right? So Professor Werman has got her on the stand, right, in that bar trial?
Yes.
And have you noticed that no one in the regular news has ever reported this actual fact that he asked her, what kind of data did you guys use to slam down on the bars and gyms? And she said, we don't have anything.
Yeah. Admit, we don't have a single case. We don't have a single case of not one piece of evidence to show that there's been a case of spread at a bar or a gym.
Andy, people listening to you right now, before I let you go, what do the listeners need to do right now in relation to all of this? What would you encourage them to be doing? Some sort of post-election activism. What would you tell them?
You got to let the governor know not just on the COVID, but this notion of you sign off a certification. Oddly enough, right in the middle of a hearing where evidence is being presented of anomalies in the Arizona election. Okay, that's the governor saying, let's stick a finger in the eye of the president and all Arizona Republicans. I think you need to let the governor know. I think you need to let your elected officials know that they have no power in and of themselves. It's derived from the people. That's a constitutional a prerogative here. So we need to let our officials know and, be the loudest voice you possibly can be. And also, I would say, don't give up hope. Don't give up the fight, because we got to be in this for the long haul, because it's going to be a long haul fight, I guarantee you.
Amen. Andy, thanks for the visit as always, man. Keep up the good work. All right, buddy?
All right. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Take care. Congressman Andy Biggs, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Thank God it's Robert Goulet. Here we go. As Nicolas Cage would say, this show has been fast and furious. It's been a rocking and rolling show. It started off with Gloria, Teddy, Betsy, and Margot bringing me all my birthday stuff. So tomorrow's my birthday. So they surprised me with Prosecco, champagne glasses, birthday cake, and lots of decorations. Very much appreciated. We love it. Thank you. Barbie from the Sausage Shop was here talking about stuff you can get for the holidays and sandwiches. Mark Van Buren did the top 10 winter sports movies. The people from Groupie Cafe were here, which is a food truck on the east side. Tim Sandifer from Goldwater. Andy Biggs. And then we have Dan Spencer, the Filthy Pirate. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Chris. How are you? Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Now, Filthy Pirate Coffee over in the Lely's Shopping Center over on La Cholla and Orange Grove. And ever since you came on, which is like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I have Wakeys emailing me, putting it on Facebook that they've gotten your coffee. And they kind of fell in love with it. Peter, which is one of our listeners, he's been there multiple times. Mark, our movie guy, just bought a bunch of stuff for his wife for her birthday, loved it. So you're doing good work, Pirate.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate all the support from the Wakeys. We get them, they come in, it's a fun experience. It's almost like a wine tasting. We line up several of the coffees and get after it and find a coffee that fits them. And we've had a really good response, and I'm enjoying it.
So first and foremost, welcome aboard. You're now the official coffee of the Wake Up Tucson show. I couldn't be prouder to have you aboard.
Yes, thank you. And we are very proud to be connected with you guys. I think we're very much in sync on a lot of things, and we're happy to do it.
Yeah, like I said, it's something where we used to have Brewed Coffee, which were Phil and Kate, and then they went out of business last February, earlier this year. And I've been looking for a great coffee partner, and you guys are the perfect match for us, so I'm thrilled that it's happening. Now, of course, right now when they go to the store, they can get beans and ground coffee to go, correct?
Correct.
And then what's the future for the Filthy Pirate in relation to, serving like one of those places that we don't want to mention?
So in my mind, and my wife will probably choke me because we just opened one store, I envision down the road a pirate ship setting cafe with all the drinks you can, and just a good time, a great place that you can hang out, maybe stay open a little later towards like a speakeasy type thing later on. I'm going to play with the idea, but it's a ways down the road, and we want to get this store, maybe a second store on the east side, locked in and just kind of dominate the coffee world here locally.
Like a pirate should dominate.
Like a pirate. We come to port and we burn it down. Yeah, we're having fun with it.
So you brought us three different blends today. One I'm going to take home because I want to try it. Anything called the Kraken is amazing. Tell me about the Kraken blend.
Yeah, so when we started this journey, I was against flavored coffee, obviously, but I was thinking more like, you know, the sugars and this, you know, this, the actual syrups. So what we did with our coffee is we took all natural, gluten-free, very nice blend of oils, found the natural flavors. We mix it in the coffee as it's roasting at a certain temperature, or actually cooling at a certain temperature. So it's infused in the beans.
Okay.
We use a light roast coffee underneath, so it's got high caffeine. That way it doesn't overpower the flavor. Mix the oils in at just the right time and temperature. And this Kraken is bourbon pecan, so it's supposed to be like the dessert. And sales-wise, people are loving it. It took me by surprise.
Number one selling coffee right now?
Number one right now, probably three times higher than our old number one, which was the Mutiny medium roast that you tried last week.
Which was great also.
It's still doing great. There's nothing, you know, wrong with that coffee. It's just, we found a nice little segue into the big corporate sugar dump coffee that we won't name. So if you got a little sweet tooth and you like coffee, but you don't want all the nonsense in it, and you still want good, low acidic black coffee, we've got that fix. We're working on Irish cream right now, maybe a vanilla, and a surprise local flavor that's regional here to us.
Very cool.
Hopefully 2021 will roll that one out.
What's the hours of operation for the Pirate right now on La Choya and Orange Grove?
So we just updated our hours since I retired, and we added Tuesday through Sunday. We're closed on Mondays. So Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay, awesome. Like I said, every wakey I know that's gone there has literally texted me, messaged me on Facebook, and said, the place is the real deal.
It is. Thank you. And we're really enjoying the relationships we're building with your audience. It's been fun.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the Wake Up Family Filthy Pirate Coffee.
Thank you.
Stay there. We're going to take a quick call. Let's get Jesse Lugo, Bike in the Box. He just wants to give us a quick number on how much money we raised for kids for getting them a bicycle for Christmas. Jesse, we got about 34 seconds.
Not a problem. Happy birthday. And
thank you, buddy.
With Marion Hook all the way from Bali, donating $550 and Hitch Paparaki, you know, doing his part on it, $25,300, Chris, from the Wake Up Tucson radio program.
That is unbelievable. So $25,300 raised by the Wakeys to help kids get a brand new bicycle for Christmas.
That's awesome.
Yeah, anybody wants to witness our bike giveaway tomorrow at Elks Lodge 385, 1800 North Oracle Road, we'll be starting our giveaway at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, if you want to feel good about the planet Earth, go watch Jesse and the crew give away bicycles to these deserving kids, man, and look at the look on their face. It's amazing. So it'll make me forget about all the political crap I talked about all week. So
Merry Christmas, Chris, and happy birthday to you again.
Thank you, good man. All right, that's Jesse Lugo, $25,300. You're the best. Dan Spencer, Filthy Pirate, have an amazing weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, and we're going to be guzzling your coffee on a regular basis here.
Awesome.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Tom Callahan, have a nice weekend.
Happy birthday, big guy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Great job for your first week.
Thanks.
Very good.
Thumbs are slowly going away.
I know. You'll be there. Zach's coming up next, and then Billy Buckmaster, 12 noon. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk.